My story, I titled it This Side of the Rainbow, and it goes like this. We experienced grief on this side of the rainbow. I came to Grief Share through a meeting with Mark. In order to be a member of Watermark, you must meet certain requirements, one of which is to serve. One of the boxes I checked was Grief Share. I met with Mark and Lynette, who was one of the small group leaders at that time, a couple of years ago after Mark contacted me. I was honored and surprised because a couple of years had passed since I had expressed interest. Mark had suggested I attend a semester of Grief Share in order to see if this ministry is a good fit for me and if I was a good fit for it. He asked me to be a part of the facilitator team, so I suppose he thought I was a good fit, and I agreed to it, so here we are. I became a Christian when I was 9 years old. My family and I attended Crescent Park Church of Christ in Littlefield, Texas. When I awakened that February morning, I knew I wanted to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I also felt the enemy discouraging me. I walked very determined down the aisle to the front to make my confession. I was baptized immediately following. When I came up out of the water, I wept uncontrollably. I saw a vision of angels celebrating. It was just beautiful. I felt weightless, as if I could have floated out of the baptistry. Grief Share has given me an opportunity to serve God in this ministry by walking along beside fellow journeymen who are on a pathway we likely would not have chosen. One of the unexpected blessings is an answered prayer I prayed fervently almost 20 years ago in a bathroom at Dallas Children's Hospital. It went something like this. The thought of losing Leah is overwhelming, but for her suffering to have been in vain, a story without a moral, a person who very few people would have an opportunity to know of, and a hopeless end is unbearable. Please, God, I beg, don't allow it. I stand before you sharing my testimony regarding the loss of my daughter Leah and where I am today in my walk with God, and to proclaim his goodness and his trustworthiness. Leah and I were introduced on February 7th, 1984. I had heard from family members how beautiful she was and the good news of her being a healthy baby girl. In the 80s, we didn't deliver our babies with a vast amount of information about their gender or their health. The nurse brought her in so I could hold her. As I held her, I thought, this is not my baby. She looks like an alien. I didn't recognize her. I told the nurse, this is not my baby. What blood type does she have? The nurse stared at me. When she saw I was convinced the baby I held did not belong to me, she checked Leah's hospital bracelet and reported Leah's blood type. I received the information as more evidence that Leah was not my child because we, her family, had a different type of blood. The nurse looked concerned as I remained unwavering. I can imagine her thoughts of her potential termination if she made a significant error. The nurse's last act in the deduction process of who the baby girl belonged to was checking both my and Leah's hospital bracelet. They matched. I did accept her as my baby, arms, mind, and heart. We became a family of six within the next few years. Leah enjoyed babies and kittens who she would dress as babies and push them around the stroller. I can still see her in my mind's eye, standing on the hearth, singing praises to God, high volume, left arm in the air, hopping up and down. She was an uncommon child. She would stare at people, which at times caused an awkward moment, much like conversations we have likely had with silent spaces we would feel relieved filling, even if it was with mindless chatter. I think she was trying to look into their eyes so she might get a glimpse of their souls. The family unit we had built had structural issues. The marriage was weak. There was alcoholism, infidelity, and a dark force that seemed to invade in a cyclical manner. We had needed help for a long time. We wanted help when the pain of change became less than the pain of staying the same. The proverbial corner can be a blessed place because it's more difficult to say no to the one who has plans for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Corners are dark, hopeless places. This side of the rainbow has many corners. Our family moved to Colorado and became a resident at a Christian rehab. We were in need of divine healing as individuals and as a family. In February of 1990, Leah complained of a pain in her belly. We could see a bulge and felt a hard spot. After testing, it was determined she had Wilms cancer, a tumor that forms in the baby's kidney and begins to grow rapidly. It's the good news of the cancer world, because if a child is going to have a tumor, this is the one to have. Generally, the prognosis is positive, with a cure rate around 90%. Leah's test results showed favorable histology, which meant the cells were not resistant to treatment. More good news. The first night in Denver Children's Hospital, Leah laid on her bed, hands in the air, singing praises to God. Since the cancer was discovered while we were residents in a rehab, a question began to arise and reside in my soul. Did Leah become ill because of our sins? I've been attending Bible classes, which were a requirement for all students living at the rehab center. Fortunately, I'd been studying the book of John. John 9 has a story about a boy who was blind, born blind, and the disciples asked Jesus one of the same questions I asked him. It had to do with the source of the issue. John 9, 2, Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or the sins of his parents? And in John 9, 3, it says, it was not because of the sons or his parents. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. As you probably know, Jesus healed him. These scriptures relieved me of guilt, which I was grateful for, but I wanted for God to assure me and reassure me his being glorified in Leah's illness meant he would heal her. I wasn't as interested in his being glorified if it didn't mean taking the cancer and leaving Leah with us where she belonged. The next few years included many surgeries, chemotherapy, radiation, and regular hospital stays. The cancer reoccurred a couple of times. Around Christmas of 1991, we were preparing to go to Iowa City to a research hospital. There was a questionable spot in one of Leah's lungs. At the time, we lived near Crestone, Colorado. Crestone was a unique place. The year-round population was around 100 people. The Baca family, a wealthy family from the area, owned a large ranch. They'd given 10 acres to nonprofit organizations who met the criteria. There was a New Age college that Shirley MacLaine had invested in, a mosque, a Buddhist temple, and other religions that had a presence in the San Luis Valley. There was a rumor I'd caught wind of having to do with a group of witches on the mountain that practiced white magic. The word on the mountain was they had been a vessel for healing. I confessed with God to God one afternoon in my bedroom before we left for Iowa. I confessed to him I had considered taking Leah to the witches on the mountain. This was one of many moments of desperation I experienced. I assumed he would be displeased, do you think? But what I knew about him was when I asked for forgiveness for seeking healing for my daughter from the enemy's representatives, he would have to forgive me because of 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In my mind's eye, I saw me at a poker table with tall stacks of poker chips. I was so distraught. My mind was racing in the imaginary game I was playing. I took the chips, all of them, and pushed them out in the middle of the table. I picked up my conversation with God again. I told him if he didn't heal Leah, then I will accept his decision. I wanted him, his will, his blessing, more than I wanted anything, including Leah's healing. A truth that became crystal clear to me that afternoon is without God, I had nothing. There was no other place to go. This revelation was a law like gravity in that whether one believes it or not does not change its existence. The spot was removed and it was tested 3 separate times, and each time the surgeon would say they could not identify it. 3 times the surgeon said it was Wilms, but it wasn't cancer anymore. The final explanation was we'd received a Christmas miracle. We were released from cancer treatment in 1992. Cancer survivor newsletters began to come in the mail, invitations to survivor picnics, the latest news in cancer research. We'd come through the battle, scarred but alive, and adjusting to civilian life. We attended school programs, church, hosted sleepovers, tasted of the slice of life we'd dreamed of having, and it tasted good. One of our experiences gave more evidence of this normal life I'd heard about, and in retrospect became symbolic of Leah's view of herself and the life she was living. She had a mild form of cerebral palsy, so she limped a bit, and her right side didn't work as well as her left. Our children were in a track meet their elementary school had organized. The boys had won blue and red ribbons due to an athleticism they were blessed with. Leah also participated in the meet by running the 50-yard dash. It was not a surprise when she came in last. Nevertheless, she proudly wore her pink ribbon because it was pink, and pink was her favorite color. It was the best ribbon she could have won, especially since it matched the pink T-shirt she had on. I was so proud of her. She finished the race, even though she ran differently than the other competitors, and gave it all she had. 1 Corinthians 9:25 and 26. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. The race became a symbol for me for the way she lived, a unique style, determined to finish it with eye on the prize. This side of the rainbow, we can become distracted from the race or what the real prize really looks like. The end of 1994, around Christmas, cancer reoccurred. It came back with a vengeance. We brought Leah to Dallas Children's Hospital for a bone marrow transplant. It was brutal. The people around us offered their blood, their money, casseroles, so many casseroles. My mom bought hats and put Velcro underneath, in the back, and attached Leah's hair she had kept and glued Velcro to it. She would stay with her in the hospital so I could be with my boys and Sarah and my husband. I so appreciate the beauty she brought into Leah's life. She would ask what takeout food she would like to have. My mom, Leah's Grammy, would pick up food from one of Leah's favorite restaurants, bring out real plates, real silverware, placed on a placemat, the cloth napkin folded just right, and crystal glasses at the right of the plate. They would sit on the edge of the bed, look out the hospital window, their hospital tray tables set as if Martha Stewart herself had set it, and my mom would ask, "Where are we dining this evening, Leah?" Sometimes they dined in New York City or Paris, France. You know, it's so nice in the springtime. But wherever they traveled, the food was always delicious and the company divine. Again, we were released from treatment. Again, the cancer reoccurred. Obviously, standardized medicine did not have the cure. I would have to find it somewhere else. Surely there was a vitamin, an herb, a hot spring with healing qualities she could bathe in, something. My mom took Leah and Sarah to stay with her for a few days. Later, I was told a story that would become a priceless possession. Leah told my mom and her sister Sarah she was not going to make it this time. She knew she was going to die and move to heaven. My mom said she agreed. After they finished their lunch, they were driving to my mom's house and looked up and saw a beautiful rainbow. Leah believed it was a sign. Leah believed it was a sign, and her Grammy and her sister Sarah believed it too. It seems ironic God revealed the first rainbow to promise he would never destroy the entire world again by flood. Yet this rainbow appeared as a sign to Leah regarding her passing because her body would not endure. The promise was God would never destroy the entire earth again with a flood. Leah was being destroyed by cancer, but she would not have it again, and she would never die again. This side of the rainbow, what we especially, those of us here this evening, know is there's death. I agree with something Dr. Tripp, who Kristen, our group leader, affectionately calls Mustache Man, said in one of our Grief Share videos. Death was never meant to be. He went on to talk about a day that's coming when death will die. Now I'll return to the story about the rainbow and its meaning. The way it was told to me, the girls were excited about Leah's upcoming trip. I did not share their excitement. In fact, as my mom told me about, I politely asked her to leave and escorted her to the door. I only need people around me who are working towards a solution, her wellness, I explained. I subjected Leah to a regimen of taking in many vitamins on a daily basis and a diet where sugar was reduced. I read everything I could find about people who were cured by alternative methods and contacted experts searching for a cure. In October of 1996, I finally agreed to contact hospice. When they evaluated her, they said she was very close to her final day. Leah called out to me that morning, and I answered her with a tone that would haunt me for years. I said, "What?" I reluctantly went upstairs, and we spoke briefly. She was beginning to go into a coma. I would occasionally look in, but I mostly stayed away. One of my favorite movies is still Magnolia's. One of the characters, Malin, made a statement after losing her daughter, Shelby. "As a woman, I'm so lucky. I was there when that beautiful creature drifted into my life, and I was there when she drifted out. It was beautiful. I admire the courage, but I did not possess it. If we were not going to fight anymore, then I had no clue what to do. On the afternoon of October 15th, I surrendered by crying out to God. I said, 'If you're not going to heal her, please take her quickly. I can't stay here in the place of waiting for her to die.' You see, I knew how to fight, but I had no idea how to surrender. What a strange prayer. A mother praying for God to take her child quickly. It's appalling. He did take her. She was born February 7th at 10:10 p.m. on a Tuesday. She died October 15th at 10:10 p.m. on a Tuesday. She was 12 years old. The defeat that I felt led to guilt and a haunting sense of failure. I wanted to find her healing. I wanted it very badly. It seemed to me if I could have been smarter, quicker, if I would not have been lacking in some way, I would have found her cure. When I finally saw the truth, which was and is, I did not and do not have the power to heal. On this side of the rainbow, we are all lacking because we are not complete. It seems logical, or so I thought, this revelation would bring me great relief due to the not guilty verdict I received. God is all powerful. He is our healer. He is God. So since he is God and I am not, could he have healed her? Yes. So why didn't he? It's a tough question and one likely to go unanswered. Can I live with this question if it goes unanswered? The day of the funeral, there was an unusual rainbow in the sky. It was round with a clear blue sky as its backdrop. I'm quite sure it was her walkway into heaven. After some time had passed, I was reminded of God's mighty power through the story of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The bones came up from the ground and began to live again. I challenged God to bring Leah back. I moved from challenging him to demanding he do this, and quickly. There was a still small voice inside of me that said, I could. I told him I knew he could, which is why I commanded him to do so. He asked me a question. What if Leah doesn't want to come back? I said, well, I thought for a moment, then I guess I wouldn't want her to come back if she... And God interrupted by saying, well, she doesn't, so... I told him I should have known I couldn't compete with the parent of all parents. I felt defeated, but not destroyed. It was a good defeat because I found peace. It was finished. Jesus had her true father's wisdom. Leah had her true father's wisdom. She told me she believed the source of her illness came from the garden. She understood why there's death and illness and sadness and storms. This is not the other side of the rainbow. This side is full of trials and tribulations. Leah's message, which will preach any day of the week and twice on Sunday, is this. She'd been anointed with oil and prayed for, had every medicine known to man. She'd been a Christian for half her life, had sung praises to God even from her sickbed, and even though she was not going to receive healing and remain on earth until she was old or even grown, she would still follow Jesus and would encourage others to follow him as well, because it's not a deal. Following him is the deal. When I wake up in the morning, I thank God for a new day. That's what Leah said she did. This side of the rainbow, there's the problem of time and injustice and sadness. Oh, sure, there's also laughter and beauty and hope. It's just that the other side of the rainbow, heaven, is not restricted by time, where justice is restored and hope springs eternal. The residents and their world on the other side of the rainbow are just drenched in beauty. My prayer today is God will cause me to fulfill the purposes I was created for and complete the missions he's assigned to me. Someday when my work is done, he'll take me over the rainbow and I'll see Leah and my mom and my grandparents and Jesus. And when I see him, I will become like him. 1 John 3:2. Once I become like him, I will not have questions like, why did you not heal Leah and leave her with me? I can testify to God's goodness and his trustworthiness. I don't understand why God did not heal my daughter Leah and leave her here with us. As I recall, I started this story with a suggestion regarding the question of who she belonged to. This is not my baby. She looks like an alien. The fact he's God and I'm just a human being presents a communication challenge. How can I understand him and his ways? I can't. I don't need to, as long as I remember he's good and he's trustworthy. I can live with this unanswered question because as long as I know he's good and he's trustworthy, it's enough. He's enough. The late, great Rich Mullen said this, if you want a religion that makes sense, don't choose Christianity. But if you want a religion that brings life, this is the one. I started my relationship with Jesus at a young age. We know this side of the rainbow, life can be difficult, and we have suffered heartbreaking losses in this room. What I hope you also know, if you don't already, is a relationship with Jesus lightens our burdens and offers healing for a broken heart. As challenging as life is this side of the rainbow, it can be unbearable without him. And when we pass the other side, he'll be waiting for us if we have a relationship with him. Thank you for sharing your stories with me throughout the last semester and for listening to mine. I'm privileged to have been a part of this ministry and to have had the opportunity to become acquainted with the amazing women in my small group. Easter is coming, and love has won.